The book of 1 Samuel recounts the history of Israel in its transitional time, from the period of the judges to the establishment of a monarchy. Samuel was a judge, a priest, and a prophet. Samuel anointed the first two kings of Israel. But the story really begins with Samuel's mother, Hannah. This is probably a very familiar story to most of you, but I want to highlight a few interesting aspects. To learn more, join me for today's episode of All Things Apostolic. The first book of Samuel began in a dark day. The priesthood was corrupt. Eli had placed his sons in ministry despite their immorality. The enemy seemed too strong and the people were demoralized. Into this scene appeared a remarkable and godly woman named Hannah. Hannah's husband Elkanah was a Levite. He was from the tribe of Israel that God had set apart to minister his word to the people. There were three Levitical families, and Elkanah came from the most distinguished of the three, the family of Kohath, to which Moses and Aaron had belonged. The descendants of Kohath were entrusted with the most important ministry in the service of the tabernacle. Their task was to carry the ark, the lampstand, the table, and the golden altar when Israel was on the march. Elkanah had two wives, and the arrangement created discord and dissension. In addition to Hannah, Elkanah was married to Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And having two wives definitely created trouble in Elkanah's home, especially because Elkanah loved one more than the other, and because one was barren and the other was not. In the ancient Near Eastern context, a woman's ability to bear children was highly valued, and infertility was often seen as a source of shame. The idea of barrenness and fruitfulness is a topic worthy of its own discussion, but since God is sovereign over time, many scriptural examples demonstrate that barrenness is often a timing issue. There may be a special calling on the life of the child, and it has to be timed just right for maximum effectiveness. And this was the case with Hannah and Samuel. The Bible says that the Lord had shut up her womb. Hannah would eventually bear a special child, but the timing had to be just right. And first, she had to undergo a difficult and bitter trial. Peninnah would provoke Hannah and upset her, and Hannah often wept. But Hannah's troubles drove her toward God instead of away from him. On one of the family's annual trips to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord, Peninnah provoked Hannah. When Hannah went to the temple to pray, Eli sat on a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. He was kind of indifferent to this woman who was pouring out her heart. In bitterness of soul, she prayed to the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11 says, "And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." I want to point out a couple of things about this prayer. First, the Hebrew words translated as Lord of Hosts are Yahweh, Tzefaot. Tzefaot is a plural form of Tzafa. It means host, army, service, or warfare. It was sometimes used in reference to Israel's army, who served the commander, or the host of angels in the heavenly realm who served God, or the Levites who provided dedicated service to God in the tabernacle. Pairing Yahweh with this word as a title for God, Lord of Hosts, was used about 80 times by the prophet Jeremiah, and it was used about 90 times by the post-exilic prophets during times of danger and disappointment. But Hannah was the first one to use this title. It was never used in the Pentateuch or the books of Joshua or Judges. This godly woman used it for the first time, and then later it was a title used for God in the prophetic books. Now, whether Hannah meant it in the context of God as the head of the military host, or the angelic host, or the Levitical servants is unsure. But she began her prayer by addressing God in a manner of acknowledgement that had never been recorded before. Also, notice that she made a promise to God. If God would give her a child, she would see to it that he would grow up to serve the Lord. She would begin by making a Nazirite out of him. This is implied by saying that no razor would come upon his head. Everything he would ever be would be laid on the altar. She would raise him up to have a consuming passion for God his whole life. This promise to God demonstrated her deep faith and trust in God's providence. But the old priest Eli saw her praying and accused her of being drunk. It is so interesting that the next time people praying fervently would be accused of being drunk would be years later on the day of Pentecost. And Bible scholar John Phillips says it this way: "This dear and desperate woman had more power with God in 55 words of prayer than an old minister had during 55 years of ministry as priest and judge." Hannah must have had some type of peace after the trip to the temple because she ate and her countenance was no longer sad. Maybe she just knew that things were going to be different, and they were. Elkanah knew his wife, Hannah, and the Lord remembered her, and she conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, because I have asked him of the Lord. And we'll talk about his name more in a moment. Hannah guided her little boy, and then eventually the time came when she had to fulfill her promise to God. How could she give him back to God? Well, there was only one way she could think of: take him to the tabernacle and leave him with the priest. She told Eli that she was the woman who had stood by him there praying to the Lord, and she said, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. Now I want to point out something in the Hebrew. For Hannah, giving Samuel back to God was not an afterthought. And we can tell this by the different uses of a particular verb, sha'al. Hebrew verbs are built upon a three-consonant root. In this case, the three Hebrew letters are Shin, Aleph, and Lamed. When the vowels are added, the word sounds like sha'al. The Hebrew verb sha'al primarily means to ask or to inquire. It is used in various contexts, including making a request, seeking information, or demanding something. The term can imply a simple question or a more earnest petition, depending on the context. It is often used in relational settings, such as asking God for guidance or making requests of others. To understand a key point about this verb, I need to point out that Hebrew verbs can have different stems called binyan. Now, these are different ways to conjugate Hebrew verbs. The call is the most basic stem. It shows simple active action. Other conjugations can be used to show passive action, intensive action, causative action. To conjugate a verb, we change the prefixes, suffixes, or the vowels to fit the pattern of that particular stem. And then we can recognize the stem of the verb by how it's conjugated. And this is a really critical skill because conjugation can affect the meaning of the word. If I have a root that means very simple hit in the simple active call stem, I hit something, I could say something like, "I hit the vase." But if the root is in the PL stem, which is an inintensive action, it would be more appropriate to say something like, I smashed the vase. Same verb, but it's in a different stem, from a simple one to an intensive one. So you would translate it hit in the simple, but something like smash in the intensive. So the stem affects the meaning of a word and how it's translated. Well, the question is, how does this affect the story of Hannah? Well, in the story of Hannah, we see the verb sha'al in the call stem and then also in the hifil stem. In the hifil stem, the verb sha'al means to give or grant or lend or give back. So the call form is to ask, and the hifil form is to lend or give back. The verb sha'al used in the call form occurs multiple times in 1 Samuel chapter 1. We find it in verses 17, 20, and 27, and primarily it is to make a request or to ask something. This idea of asking is a major theme in the whole book. In fact, look at the name of Saul. It is Shaul, and it is derived from the Hebrew root, same Hebrew root Sha'al that we've been talking about. The name implies someone who was asked for or prayed for, which reflects the people's request for a king in 1 Samuel. And even the name Samuel, pronounced Shmuel, is made up of the two words Shem, which means name, and El, which means God. So it's usually interpreted as name of God, but it contains the letters for the root word Sha'al, to request or to ask. So although name of God is the most common interpretation for Samuel's name, his name could have the interpretation of heard by God. The two names of the two major characters of the book, Samuel and Saul, both contain the letters for the root word to request or to ask, Sha'al. Interestingly, both names in part appear in the same verse in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 28. The writer of the book uses a word play. It looks like the same basic phrase, lent to the Lord, is used twice, but they are different conjugations of the same verb. In the first use of Sha'al, Hannah says that she has lent him to the Lord, referring to Samuel. This uses the root Sha'al in the hifil form. Then the writer, which means basically to give back, then the writer repeats basically the same phrase, as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. But this second use of Sha'al is with a call form, and it happens to be the exact word for Saul's name, Sha'ul. The word is translated as lent both times, but the writer changed the conjugation of the verb to form a subtle contrast between Hannah's request and the Israelites' request for a king. Hannah's request was God-centered. The Israelites' request was human-centered. By asking for a king, God said they rejected him. Hannah's request was not simply a request. It was a devotion to God out of gratitude. Hannah's request was not just to get something from God, but to offer back to God what he had given to her. In other words, Hannah's request was an act of worship. And because of her sincere faith, God blessed her with 5 more children, and her first son, Samuel, became Israel's kingmaker. It was a dark time in Israel. God's answer to Israel's apostasy was a baby boy. God chose a godly, praying woman who was willing to consecrate herself to the spiritual training of her child and then give him back to the Lord to serve him. Through God's granting of a son, Hannah experienced God's grace. In fact, the name Hannah, Chana in Hebrew, means grace or favor. And Hannah's example reminds us to ask not just for our own self-serving purposes, but also as an act of worship to give back to God what we asked for. Thank you for joining me for today's episode of All Things Apostolic. And until next time, take care and God bless.